philosophies in my experience and my experiment.
So I've just dropped Miko at the hospital. It's Thursday morning, or lunchtime Thursday, and he has his surgery tomorrow morning. And I'm not allowed to be in Queensland, so I pretty much had to drop him and stay in the car and watch him walk off and wave. And I think, like, it was really hard, but I think the hardest part was actually just, like, you know, the hardest part of today has been two bits. One. Oh, no, that's not where I want to go. One has been coming in while he was saying goodbye to Mabel and just, like, hearing his voice crack and seeing him well up. And then just then, you know, giving him a hug and, you know, he's scared. Of course he's scared. He's about to undergo major heart surgery. I'm scared. I'm fucking shitting myself. Anyway, now I just have to make it through the next 24 to 26 hours. He goes in for surgery in the morning at 9 as planned, then you know, he'll be out around this time tomorrow, a little bit later, and then I think I'll be able to breathe in a couple of days. Okay, so it is surgery day, and I'm feeling super anxious. It's actually a really bizarre feeling. So I've been, you know, just chatting with Miko this morning. He was super emotional. I think he was very scared, but would never admit that, probably because he doesn't want me to worry. But, you know, naturally, I mean, fuck, it's big. And so he messaged me. He was due to, his surgery was scheduled for 9, but we were told that, you know, it might not go to plan, like, in terms of, I mean, it might not go to plan. 98% of people make it through okay and 2% don't. So, you know, like, that seems like not that much, but it's 1 in 50. It's actually quite, you know, big. So it's a bit scary. But, you know, he's young and otherwise his heart is in really good nick and he's very fit and healthy. So everything is in his favour and he's young, you know, like, people in their 80s have this surgery and, you know, most of them make it out and go on to live good lives, you know. So I'm just doing my best to focus on that. But it's hard. And yeah, and so I got a message from him just before about 20 to 9 saying that they were here and he was going in. So now I just wait and the surgery will take, you know, something between kind of 4 to 6 hours. So during that time, you know, and I don't know, like, when the surgery starts, so who knows. I'm hoping to hear something by 3 o'clock this afternoon. Oh, it's a long time. So Mabel decided it's school holidays on Monday and today was the last day of school. And, you know, she's been in lockdown and then had kind of 3 days at school, and yesterday she had off. her nana came over to watch her, Nico's mum, so, and play with her all day. And, you know, and she was quite, she's got a bit of separation anxiety, but she was adamant she wanted to go to school this morning to see her friends, and they had like a special lunch day. So I contacted the school and just said, look, you know, Mabel's decided she wants to come to school, but if any moment she changes her mind, call me and I'll come and get her. And it's really important that this does happen, like, because, you know, right now I need her to feel as safe as possible, but also a sense of normality. Like, I think actually being home with me, you know, I'm so anxious and overstimulated at the moment that it's probably a good thing she did go to school. Anyway, she went off without a hitch. I thought she might change her mind when she got to the gate, but she was like, nah, mum, I want to go. So off she went. And it's meant that I can come down here and have a walk and just spend a bit of time by myself, which I think is actually a good thing. I've been just completely overwhelmed by messages and calls, and, you know, it's really lovely, and I invite it all because it does help. It's just, at times it's a bit overwhelming, because it's kind of like, it's really interesting, like, you have these moments of distraction where life seems like it's kind of normal and you forget what's happening, and then all of a sudden you get a message and it pulls you back into it, you know. And I think that's what Miko this morning, he messaged me and said, can we FaceTime and just kind of get the pre-surgery FaceTime over, because I think it'll help my nerves settle if I've, you know, said goodbye and, you know, all that stuff. So and I think that's the thing, right? Like, it's hard to distract yourself from this. But the other thing I've noticed is just how, like, strange life is when you're in this space. It's like everything else, like, you're kind of just a witness to the normalcy. Like, it's the weirdest feeling. It's like life is standing still for you, but around you everyone's just going about their normal business, and you can feel quite separated from that in some ways. And in some ways it's kind of comforting. You know, I was just thinking about how nobody ever really knows what's going on for you as an individual, for us, you know, individually, what's going on inside of us. I think that's why, for me, it's really important to keep talking and keep sharing, even if it's just, you know, giving you updates instead of inspiring shit, you know, or insightful shit, just like going through the motions and actually sharing where I'm at and what's happening. Because I don't know, like, for me it's really important that people do know where I'm at, and if things are difficult, that they're aware. And and I know, like, a lot of people don't. A lot of people, you know, actually, this is really, I love reality TV, and I've been watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and Erica Girardi is going through, you know, like, a divorce with her very wealthy and powerful husband, who is a lawyer, and he has some major lawsuits because he, you know, stole money from some victims of a plane crash and stuff. Anyway, like, it's really heavy shit. And part of the thing is, like, her story, like, she was telling part of her story last night to Kyle, and part of it was like, you know, like, well, you know, they saw her on Saturday, and the day before, Tom had had his house broken into, and he was confronted by the person who broke in. And then her son went around to check on him. He's a police officer. And on the way home, he rolled his car 5 or 6 times, you know, and the girls are like, this is just unbelievable, you know, but like, and I feel like that sometimes, I mean, you know, with the dentist's mum dying in the chair and not in the chair, but while Miko was in the chair, fully prepped for the last hurdle before surgery. Like, it's just, it's unbelievable. And part of me just wants to document it so I can remember this period and come back and, you know, be hopefully grateful that Miko's made it and he's happy and healthy and we're getting on with our lives on the other side of this. But also because, you know, like in this particular instance, like, I don't know, a lot of people will keep it, hey, keep this stuff to themselves. And I don't know, like I am really moody and reactive, and you know, if someone came across me this morning on my walk to the beach, like, you know, I'm not, I don't know, my behaviour is weird at the moment. I'm not the happy, you know, like patting a dog, making a joke kind of Carly. And so it'd be very easy for someone to walk past me and think I'm rude or something. But, you know, this is that's the weird thing. It's like, I'm not saying I give a shit. I don't, because I don't care what people think. On that level, it's like, whatever. I'm not here to make people feel okay. That's another thing, right? Like, I feel like a lot of people around me at the moment feel particularly helpless. And you know, when I had to go and drop Miko yesterday, you know, I was really, really upset, because that is really fucking rough, right? And there were a lot of tears and a lot of disappointment, and actually just really very scared. And I confronted that moment, you know, and it was hard and I did it. But yeah, I feel like, you know, around me a lot of people want to make it better and they want to know what they can do. And, you know, and it's like, I wrote a Facebook post just updating everyone yesterday, and it's like, there's actually not much people can do other than, you know, send love and that's about it. Because there's no way around this. The wisest words doesn't change the situation here. You know, like, be positive. Yeah, well, that's fucking, you know, it's nice, but like, it's nice to be positive, and for the most part I am. But also, like, it's just kind of word vomit. What does it mean, be positive? Yeah, it's just a very strange place to be. It does feel like I'm just, the world's moving around me and I'm in this weird void. And you know, I never thought I would find myself in this situation, and it's probably all going to be okay, you know? But it's not until it is. And you know, I've spoken about the Schrodinger's cat theory before, like when the cat's in the box and you've been, you know, it's either alive or dead, and you've been told it's either alive or dead in the box, then there's two alternate realities kind of running, one where he is alive in the box and one where he's not. And while those two, you know, those two realities are running simultaneously until you open the box. And that's how I feel at the moment, is like, while I'm waiting to hear, two alternate realities are running. And nothing changes that until I get a call to confirm one or the other, you know. So, yeah. I also wanted to share all of this stuff because, you know, we don't have a lot of people in life who do share in the moment and kind of unapologetically, you know, because this is the thing, right? So at one moment I'm okay and I'm hopeful, and then the next moment reality sets in and I'm sad and overwhelmed, and you know, and other times I'm really angry and short-tempered and reactive and judgmental, you know, and like this is the human experience. And for some reason it's not acceptable. But right, and I think that's partly because we don't like to see people in pain. And yeah, and we can hold people in this place, right? And what I want is not to be held in this place. Because when I press stop, it's likely I won't be in this place. I'll be in another place, and then later on I'll be in another place, and later on I'll be on another place. And I guess I just want to, you know, I've always wanted to be honest about where I am in any moment, because there's not a lot of that going around. But this is life. This is life. It's full of heartbreak and struggle and pain and glory and ecstasy and love. And it's all of it, you know, it's all of it. And sometimes it's simultaneously both, like grief and gratitude can run simultaneously. And I think we're kind of sometimes a bit one-dimensional as a society about feelings, and we're really uncomfortable with them. And we're really uncomfortable with having our mortality kind of waved about in our faces. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we're all mortal. And life is fragile. It's also very resilient. So yeah, this is me on the beach. I'm going to flip around now. The day of my husband's heart surgery. So I'll be back at some point with an update. It might even be a mashed up episode with a few little moments mixed in. But yeah, this is me in this one. So it's Tuesday, and Miko had the surgery, and he is on the mend. He's doing well, and it's interesting because it's been a real emotional roller coaster. So Friday was like the longest day ever. Oh, it feels like it's been a lifetime, but anyway, it's only been like 4 days or whatever, 5 days. Friday, you know, he went in for surgery. They came and got him about 8:30, and I was just beside myself with worry and concern. And then they rang at about 2:30 in the afternoon to tell me that he had made it through. And he was in ICU and it had gone well. So, you know, just relieved. And then I finally heard from him that evening. And he was, you know, he was good. He was perky. He was in ICU. He had a nurse that he was really, you know, had a good sense of humor. And we FaceTimed, and, you know, and he was in good spirits, and it was good. And then the next day he came out of ICU and went into the ward, and because he's from New South Wales, it meant that he had to be isolated from everyone else in the hospital. And that meant he got a private room, which was really nice, but it also meant that he had limited contact, and anyone that he has had contact with has had to be in full PPE. So the last few days have been more of a struggle, and yesterday was particularly hard. I think he was feeling really down. He was feeling like, you know, like I think about the likeness to my birthing experience and having an emergency C-section, and just like although I got off the drugs very quickly because they just did not agree with me at all. Like, you know, you just don't really have any concept of space and time. You're just in this like void, and it's really weird. And I actually remember coming out of hospital feeling like it was a foreign world or something. Like, it was a really bizarre feeling. So I can imagine how Miko will be feeling when I go to get him. But anyway, just, you know, like he just felt like he wasn't... Oh, my phone's ringing. Hang on. Yeah, so he just felt like he wasn't making any progress. He couldn't see the progress. You know, he had come off the drugs that he was on. So, you know, it was actually just like really difficult, right? Because after he came out of ICU and he was all perky and stuff, then, you know, the next couple of times, or the next day or two where we saw him, he was kind of like falling asleep while we were talking to him and stuff. And that was like kind of concerning. And then he had some heart rate fluctuation stuff going on. And, you know, and one night, I didn't hear from him for like 12 hours. And it just makes my mind just go all kinds of places. And so I haven't been sleeping well. I've had the phone next to me all the time. You know, it's just, it's really been a stressful roller coaster, from like the relief and just the ecstatic joy that he had made it through the surgery and was in ICU and seeing him and how, you know, happy he was. And then like the emotional roller coaster that he's been on and seeing him so down, which is not Miko, you know. He's a really positive, upbeat kind of guy, and to see him struggling emotionally has been just really difficult. So I bought him a balloon, you know, bunch of balloon bouquet or whatever they're called, and I had a bunch of our friends and family and his workmates send little videos that I put together into a video to kind of pick up his spirits. And today, you know, well, yesterday I was just a fucking wreck. I was exhausted. I was like, just felt stretched within just my absolute limits. Like the stress of, because we're now, all the LGAs around us are back in lockdown and Ballina is the only one that isn't. And so, you know, that just adds another layer of stress. I'm trying to keep my exposure really low, and, you know, because I can't afford to be on a close contact list right now, so I'm not going anywhere. And it's just been really, yesterday was really fucking hard. And then today, Miko's more positive. I'm feeling more positive. Hopefully he's going to come home and we can go and get him tomorrow. But we'll just see, which will be the day this episode comes out. You know, it's just been a real emotional roller coaster. And I've wanted to share this, even though like it's not my usual content, because this is like the reality of life, and I want to have it documented, because I also want to remind myself of how difficult it is to be in this place, you know, and how hard it is to ask for help, and how hard it is to even know what to ask for. So this is one thing I've been thinking about a lot, is like, you know, I've got no shortage of support around me, people who are desperate to help, and I just have had no capacity to really know what to ask for or know how people can help me, because a lot of the stuff has just been stuff that nobody can help with. You know, I had to drive him up there and drop him off and wave goodbye and drive home. Like, nobody can change that. So, you know, so it's like, well, I was thinking, like, what would I ask for if I could, you know? And it's like I couldn't access any answers. Anyway, this morning I kind of woke up feeling a bit clearer, and I figured, well, you know what? I need to get some stuff from the shops, and I'm not feeling comfortable going to the shops right now. And so I just put out on Facebook if anyone's going to Woolies or Nixon's, which is like our bulk food place. You know, I need a few things. So, you know, and I had like straight away a couple of people message and say, what do you need? I'll go get it. You know, a friend of mine contacted me and she was like, can I mow your lawn? Can I, like, what can I do? And so I said, if you want, I'd love you to just come around and watch Mabel on the trampoline for an hour so I can go for a walk by myself. And so that's how I've ended up here, is just, you know, like, yeah, that's, you know, thinking, okay, what do I need right now? Right now, I need someone to grab some things from the shops. Right now, you know, I could do with some space. So can I find a way to make it happen that's low risk and, you know, and gives me what I need? Because it's been very difficult to hold everyone together, you know. Mabel, she, like, this is a lot for a little 7-year-old to be going through on top of a pandemic. And for my husband, you know, like, he's a real people person. He's a fourth line in human design, you know, like, he needs people around him. And to be isolated in this room by himself has been very tough. And the whole experience has been an emotional ride for him. And then, you know, and then I have my own anxiety and worry and grief and my own emotional landscape going on, but haven't really had any capacity or space to be with it. So, you know, it's been really fucking hard. And you know what? Like, I think one thing that I will do differently next time that I have a friend that I recognize is going through something similar, you know, doesn't have the capacity to really think for themselves, is just like do something, you know, instead of asking what can I do, say offer. Do you want me to go to the shops for you? Do you want me to, like, I'll like order some food, pay for a cleaner, you know, offer to, yeah, like take the kids out for a bit. Like, just things that, and, you know, like, the complexity because of the COVID situation has added a lot more layers to this for us. But, you know, I just think, you know, we have that whole are you okay thing for, you know, are you okay day. It's kind of similar, like, to that, right? Like, when we're not okay, it's really difficult for us to ask for help because we can't actually access the parts of our brain that are the executive functioning. We don't have access to knowing how someone can help us. So sometimes when we're in this space, you know, it's like, I don't have the energy to invite you, just offer. So yeah, or just do it, you know? Like, some of the best things have been when a food delivery's rocked up and I, you know, and it's been like amazing. You know, I think it's really easy to feel helpless in these kind of situations when someone you love and care about is going through a really rough time. And we don't want to offend them or, you know, or like make things more stressful for them. But there's things that we can do that, you know, that will help. And it's simple shit, right? Like, take the kid to the park or... drop off some food or send some flowers. Like, that kind of shit actually, yeah, works. Or, you know, if you've got a friend going through a really tough time and you know that there's, you know, lots of stress financially, go and set up a GoFundMe for them. Like, there's so many things we can do that don't require the other person to think. So yeah, that's me. I'm here. I'm Miko's alive. He's recovering. He'll be home soon. And, you know, and we've got a really long road ahead, recovery-wise. But, yeah, today I'm just my hope is reignited. So, yeah. All right. Well, that's it from me this week. Big long app because I think I've got 3 bits I'm putting together here. Anyway, thanks for sticking around and listening. And I pray that something like this never happens to you because it's, you know, it's really fucked. But if it does, you know, I hope there's just some comfort in this. So anyway, that's it from me. Peace out. Come on, Sophies. I'm Carly Nimmo.